Now, on the line now, I have Nicola Henley, and she's from the Access in Ballymun. Good morning, Nicola. How are you?
Hi, I'm grand. Yeah, morning to you.
Okay, well, tell us about what's coming up for the for October, from the 4th to the 26th, and then I'll ask you about Wise Ways.
From the 4th to the 26th, so there's an exhibition there of a project that's been happening in Ballymun at Access called Wise Ways. And myself and a colleague, Terry O'Farrell, who's a ceramic artist, we have been working with different groups from the Ballymun area, different age groups, but majority of people, older age groups, and we've been collecting stories and information about the wise ways that people used to live in the past. So they've made pieces of work in clay, beautiful little sculptures in clay.
And how long has it been going there in Access?
Well, we did the project at the beginning of September, the first week of September, and we had a five-day run of workshops at Access, and each day we worked with a different group in the morning and the afternoon. Mm-hmm. So in all, there's about 40 pieces in the exhibition, and each of them are clay works with a story that goes with them.
Okay, and you're a visual artist yourself?
Yeah, Terry and I are both visual artists, and we also do participatory work and work in the community as artists. And this project started back in County Clare in 2007. We were working at the daycare centre where I work part-time, and we started the project there, the collecting of old rural country ways, actually, of living more sustainably and making do and sharing and repairing. And I suppose we just thought, God, this is a great project. It would be interesting to do it in different parts of the country because you get a very different picture.
And have you found that the people are getting back to the old ways of doing things, and a lot of people, younger people looking for hungry ways for old skills that have been lost?
I think they are, and that's where we saw the value of this. You know, there's just so much useful information. If you read the stories and you see how people did do things, it's great advice as to how to go about, like, just making do with what you have and not just constantly binning things when they get broken and going out and buying more, you know. I think there's a lot of wisdom in that, and I do think people are looking at things in a different way more and more. You know, we live in a very consumer society, and I think more and more we're thinking about waste and recycling. And do you know, there were days where you didn't throw glass bottles away, you got money back for them. So it's a great way of earning a few bucks.
Yeah, and it was, as you say, it was a great way for the environment as well, because nothing was wasted and thrown in a heap somewhere. Maybe that's where we should go back to, really. And it gives employment as well when you sort of recycle glass, doesn't it?
It does. And it also uses the creative mind. You know, you have to think a little bit more. I mean, some of the stories, they were so inventive. Like, the things that we came across, they were just amazing, you know. Great selection of information there, and I can tell you a few of the stories if you like.
Yes, please do.
Yeah, well, there was Jack Boyd there. He made a lovely little Guinness bottle, and it has a little baby's teat on the top, because he said that when they were little, they didn't necessarily have the glass feeding bottles for the baby, and then they just used the Guinness bottle and put the milk in that. And he said sometimes the doctor would prescribe Guinness and milk for the baby. I thought it was lovely.
Okay.
And then there's Linda Murray. She had a saucepan lid dinner plate. She said, oh, we used to love it. We'd take in turns to have the saucepan lid to have the dinner on it, and then it would keep it warm. And, you know, you'd take it off the pot and put the food on it. And she says, we really loved it as kids because you could spin it around.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd have, like, all the kids wanting the saucepan lid for their dinner plate. And then Tony McGuinness, he was telling us how his dad used to keep turkeys out the backyard, and at Christmas time he'd be there, you know, get the turkeys ready and killing the turkeys and helping to feed the neighbours, and, you know, just everyone knew him as the man that kept turkeys out the back. And Noreen Noon, she actually told us an amazing story about her dad used to work for Bosaris, and their neighbour, they came up to live in Dublin from Kerry, and so at Christmas time, back home, they used to send her on the bus up from Kerry a live turkey, and then their dad would pick it up from Bosaris and bring it around to the neighbours then, so that they'd have a nice fresh turkey from the country for Christmas.
It's amazing, yes. I was just thinking, the big thing going on now, they're calling it the gathering. I don't know if you've heard it or not.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just thinking, a lot of people, I was watching a TV programme on a man who's been away for 60 years and he's coming home for the gathering, and I'm wondering what sort of shocks he's going to get if he hasn't been at home in the intermediate period, how things have changed here in the past
sure
60
have.
Years, especially over the past 20. Incidentally, when you're turning around, Nicola, what sort of reaction do you get around the country?
Well, it's been an amazing reaction. I mean, I think first of all, when we kind of engage with the groups that we're working with, they, of course, don't really have an idea what they're letting themselves in for. Mm-hmm. They mainly haven't worked artistically with clay in the past, so it can be a bit intimidating. And, you know, you have to be pretty brave to come into a room and just say, OK, I'll have a go at making something. But what happens is that people start to reminisce, and then they start to share past memories. And then what happens is this amazing, real warmth, I suppose, in the group. And the dynamic is so... it's such a lot of joy and happiness, mm-hmm. That by the time they've created something and talked about the times that, you know, and often reconnected to people they knew in the past or, you know, loved ones that they've lost or whatever, mm-hmm. it can be a really heartwarming experience. So we feel very privileged, actually, to get that chance to work so closely with people. Mm-hmm. It's a short time, but by the end of it, everyone has left the workshops full of happiness and joy, you know?
Mm. Now, sorry, go on.
With great pride then to the exhibition, to see their work on show to the public, and you can see the sense of kind of really having achieved something, and that is a lovely thing to see in people, you know?
And are most of the people that you're working with, are they novices when they come in, or have some of them got some experience?
Mostly novices. Now, I'll have to say, in Ballymun, we came across a lot of people who have been actively engaged in art classes and a very active group altogether. And maybe there's just more going on, like being in the city and being perhaps given more opportunities to do things like this. But certainly down the country, I mean, we've just been a week on Inishere, very extreme on the Aran Islands, mm-hmm. if you can imagine.
Indeed,
but,
yeah.
You know, everything in the past there was about living resourcefully and living by your wits and being creative, because they had so very little to begin with. So they had to use what was there really, really, really well, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think, most of the people we've worked with, it's the first time they've been working in clay.
Now, you work with lots of people of all ages, but predominantly with older people. I always ask this question of people when working with older people, getting people involved. Is it... sort of equal among the sexes, or are men more reluctant?
It's interesting. I generally, because I'm working with older groups a lot, and so is Terry, I find it more difficult to get men to come along to do things, and particularly in Clare, where I'm based and I work most, I cannot get those men to come along. I've actually worked with about 150 people at a daycare centre, and there's only two or three men in all of that group. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad to say that in Ballymun, I think we had, I wouldn't say equal, but we certainly had a good chunk of the groups who work with were men. Mm-hmm. So what does that say? I'm not sure.
Yeah, well,
maybe more Dublin men are more adventurous, maybe more confident to come out of their shell and do something different.
Yeah, I think it's a mixture of things, Nicola, to the extent of rural people, I think in a way, well, you've been around, so you can tell me, are more inclined to hang on to the old ways and keeping traditions up and skills, where they're much quickly more lost in the city. Yeah. And then on top of that, I think that, as you say, they're more worldly in the city as well. So maybe that's where the mixture is.
I think so, yeah. And I mean, we also got quite a little bit of kind of an international flavour in Ballymun. We had a lovely lady who had moved to the area, and she's, Lynn Miller is the name, and she actually, her parents are Siberian. So her story, beautiful story, was, oh yes, my father used to go bear hunting and collect, you know, rabbit skins. My mum made me a hat out of rabbit skin every year to go to school, but we didn't go to school if it was minus 47 or colder.
Where was she from?
She was from Siberia.
Wow.
Yeah, and I just, you know, everyone in the room that was listening to her story were really, obviously really amazed, you know, what an experience she had living in the forest surrounded by bears and living such a different life. And she knew no one when she came into the room, but by the end of the afternoon, they were all so friendly towards her. And I thought, it's a way of getting to know people as well, working together. When you're all on a level, really, and everyone's having a go at doing something new, there's a great sense of, you know, shared community spirit in the room. It's lovely.
The activity is all the same, and the access are absolutely wonderful with the plays going on at the moment, also with the music that's going on and all the different things that's happening for young and old. So it's really a hub of Ballymun, isn't it?
It is. I must say now, I've been, Terry and I have been there hanging the exhibition these last 3 days and then doing the workshops earlier on in September. And what actually, I ended up thinking, I love this place. I could spend all my time in Axis. There's so much going on there. Mm-hmm. And there's people coming in. There's kids doing dancing. There was singing, practicing last night. There was some kind of entertainment thing going on, competition, I think it was. And there were kids sort of lined up practicing harmonious singing and, you know, freak out tunes and all of this. And there's a dance class going on, and the cafe's always busy, and it's just a great place to hang out, I tell you.
Okay, well,
I could spend a lot of time there.
I must get out there. Well, I've been out there a few times, but I must get out there when a lot of these things are going on at the same time.
Great, now,
this is on from the 4th to the 26th, 9 to 6. So can people have to book ahead, or what way does it work?
To come to the exhibition? Mm-hmm. No, the exhibition's up now. Now, the workshops have been and gone. The work has been made. Mm-hmm. So, as I say, we worked with nearly 40 people over that period of time. So the activity participation part of it has kind of passed. But the results of their work is now on show.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on show for the month. And, I mean, what's lovely is that the Claire work is there as well. So if you have a bit of time, if you come up and see the show, you know, you can read. There's so much there. There's over 100 stories and pieces of work to look at. And a gorgeous array of photographs of all the people working, and there'll be a loop show of photographs of all the workshops. So you could come up, see some of it, have your lunch in the cafe, and then, you know, go up again, because there's a lot to take in, there's a lot of information.
Mm-hmm. Okay, when this finishes on the 26th, is that the end of the tour, or is it finishing up in Ballymun?
As I say, we just did our week on Inishere, so we've got an exhibition to hang out there in 2 weeks' time. We're going back out, ferry permitting and weather permitting, to hang the show out there. And that'll be all work from Inishere and some of the work from Clare. There's also been the project we worked down in Callan in Kilkenny. We worked at a place called KCAT with people with disabilities. So they were artists, actually, so they were all professional artists, so they were a slightly different setup in that regard. But we invited people in from the local daycare centre and nursing home, and they worked together, and they've had an exhibition down there in KCAT. We had that at the end of July, and this tour is we've had it funded by the Arts Council touring, and we have the three venues, Kilkenny, Ballymun, then Inishere, and the original project started in Clare. So it's a sort of four-venue tour, if you like.
Yeah.
At the end of all of it, the work will go back to the communities and to the people that made the work.
It sounds like a win-win situation for everybody.
It is. I mean, you couldn't really go wrong with it, and that's what we felt. I do think there's so much information, and it's such a gorgeous collection. I'd love somehow to get all the exhibitions together and have a really big show of all four of the venues and all four of the communities from around the country all together, you know?
Well, I think with your enthusiasm, you're going to succeed there.
Well, we're pretty determined. I mean, because when you see the joy it gives to people, that's actually where the motivation comes from.
And it must be great for the people when they go on the tour as well, because apart from displaying their work and showing off their wares, I mean, they're actually seeing maybe parts of the country they never thought they'd see.
Yeah, I mean, it's open to people to come and see what the other venues have been doing. We're not, as such, bringing all the groups. We're bringing their work, which represents them. But we have invited people from the past shows and from the future show as well, the one on Inishere, to each of the openings. So there's maybe a little bit of overlap between the groups. I'd say, you know, we'd like to get all the groups together at some point and try and show all the work. The whole lot together. I think that would be great.
Okay, listen, Nicola, thank you very much. But I want you to repeat now, I know we've said it about twice, but again, as you finish off, tell us the dates, times, and how people can access all this wonderful work.
Well, it's open, the exhibition is open, it's on the upstairs level at Axis in Ballymun, open every day during the Axis opening hours. I actually probably be more familiar with them than I am, and it's running up until the end of the month. I think it's 29th of the month, as far as I know.
Mm-hmm.
Might want to check that with Niamh there. She's coordinating with us.
Okay, I'll give it out in the course of the shows over the weeks anyway while it's running.
Great.
Listen,
and
Nicola,
it's free, obviously. Free for everybody.
Okay. There's not much of that these days. Thank you very much. That's Nicola Hendy, and she's a facilitating visual artist there in Axis. Thank you very much, Nicola.
Great. Thanks a million, though. Thanks.